I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards?
All right, welcome everybody. You're here with me, Meg.
And me, Adam.
And we just watched Breaking Bad. And it's all fucked up and out of order, and that's the whole premise of this, is that I don't know what's going on.
Sure is. Meg's all confused.
And here we go.
And here we are here. I am on a sugar high right now. I might crash mid-episode, and that'll be fun to listen to. I have so many M&Ms inside me!
I am just generally tired all the time, because I'm going through a bad sleeping spell, and what can you do?
And also, it's Surfing Saturday, right? So you're usually pretty sleepy when we record on Surfing Saturday.
That's true. I didn't go out surfing yet this Saturday, but I may go out surfing after the fact.
I feel like muscle memory would still make you tired because you got the surfing in your bones.
That's fair. Yeah. They just know it's Saturday. That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, we just watched a pretty good episode of Breaking Bad. I thought so.
It was pretty action-packed, but I will say for its action-packedness, it's pretty fucking chaotic.
Yeah. Good chaotic or like bad writing chaotic is what...
I wouldn't say it was bad writing. I think... how I felt, I could be wrong, but if, regardless of how you watch it, I think this one is supposed to feel like, holy fuck, everything's kind of getting wacky here. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So that's how it felt to me. Everything's out of control.
It's a very similar feeling to when you watched Ozymandias for the first time, because that's kind of the season 5 episode where everything, and it's also the third from the last in season 5 where Hank dies and Skyler pulls a knife on Walt and like the cops find out about everything. And that's this. That ending, I fucking love so much. The music, the tension, just good television. I'm did you ever watch Dexter?
I've only seen bits and parts of Dexter.
I watched that, and the only reason I bring it up is that is a similar premise. Guy has secret life where he does illegal thing. But for quote-unquote good reasons. And it was airing around the same time. They actually had their final season the same year. And I'm rewatching that right now. And that's aged so poorly.
Actually, this is kind of in similar keeping with this. When I had to watch any amount of Dexter, I was working at a marketing company as a television watcher, where they like would have me spot out product placement of the brands they represent in television shows.
Sounds like a fun job.
It was fine. Yeah. And one of the shows was Dexter. So I just jumped in probably in one of the most surprising episodes of the entire series, which is when Dexter finds... this isn't a Dexter podcast. I'm going to ruin
it. No, tell me. I want to know because I'm rewatching it. What did Dexter find?
His wife in a bathtub full of blood.
Oh, yeah. Season 4 finale. Good ep. That's the best season of Dexter.
So I had to like just jump right in that, and I was like, I don't know what's going on, but this seems pretty big, you know.
It was, yeah. The reason I brought it up is just because I'm watching Dexter. It is not aged that well. There's like, it's way more like, it feels like a CBS drama with like swear words and boobs.
Yeah.
And like any of that stuff I love about this show, where they're like, I don't know. I was talking about Hank's referencing Kojak and them talking about frozen yogurt for 2 minutes before a scene starts. I don't know what it is, but it just makes it seem way more prestige than Dexter, which was like on Showtime. This was on cable. And I don't know. It's just this aged really well. And maybe it's because it's still on technically with Better Call Saul, kind of. But I don't know, guys. I like Breaking Bad. Fuck you.
I'm wondering, like... I don't know why this is relevant to my thought process here, but was Mad Men out at the same time as Breaking Bad? Which one came first?
Mad Men came a little bit first. And so it was kind of like the 1-2 punch of AMC's a real new cable network with real good shows that you like.
Because before then, it was just like John Wayne movies.
Just
and
John
stuff,
Wayne
right?
movies. And then afterwards it was Low Winter Sun, which no one remembers.
I don't remember that. You're
right. Low Winter Sun was a show that they... marketed the hell out of, and they gave it Breaking Bad's final season, which was their viewership like doubled between the first half of season 5 and the second half of season 5. So many people watched on Netflix in that intervening year, and in that final half they had a show called Low Winter Sun, which was not good, and they marketed it so much and they aired it right after each new Breaking Bad, and it's just like it's it's just like trying so hard to get this new show to take, this new gritty crime show to take, and no one liked it, and then it got canceled after like one season.
I don't know. Low Winter Sun sounds like the title of a Hieronymus Bosch painting. It doesn't sound like a gritty crime genre to me, you know?
I watched, I think, the first 20 minutes, and I just was like, nope. And I think I heard everyone in the town I was in at the time saying nope at the same time.
Oh, makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So should we get into it, or should we talk up some more about Low Winter Sun?
I would like to watch Low Winter Sun in reverse at some point. I think that's the, I, if I were a gambling man, I would bet there's no Low Winter Sun podcasts watching in either reverse or forward order on iTunes.
I'm guessing there's also just zero Low Winter Sun podcasts.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Or just a zero fan base for it as well.
No one liked it. I think the crew of Low Winter Sun didn't like Low Winter Sun.
I think they were like, it's a job. My kids got to go to private school type of thing.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's get into it.
All right. Well, so this was, I've already forgot the title. Something?
Where was Walt at the very end of the episode?
The desert?
No, the very end of the episode.
Oh, the crawl space.
Crawl space. The episode's called Crawl Space.
Makes sense,
makes
yes.
Makes sense because he's crawling around. But let's put on our jackets. And watch
right,
a cold
go.
Open, and then we'll see what happens next. And I hate that song so much that I can't even do a fake version of it. Did you know what song? It was the
no.
I'm Proud to Be an American, or At Least You Know I'm Free, and I'll proudly stand up
next to you. I don't want to sing it anymore.
It's not a good song.
Yeah. Was that a 9/11 song?
I think it actually came out much earlier than 9/11, and then 9/11 like gave it a spike in sales.
Makes sense.
I used it in a sketch, and it was really one time, and I think the song's hilarious, so I used a lot of it. And my art director, the one note, he was like, "You didn't need to use half the song for the end of your sketch," and I was like, "It was pretty fun." where do we open up? What happens at the beginning of this fucking thing?
At the beginning of this thing, oh boy, what does
happen? We haven't seen old DJ Mike in a while.
That's true. Well, they're setting up, they're in the middle of the Mexican desert. There's a bunch of medical staff, scrambling around, and then they get a call, and then a Cadillac comes careening over the desert. And
was that a Cadillac?
It was a Cadillac.
Oh, I have no idea. I thought it
you
was
could
a car.
See the hood ornament, or you could see like the grill ornament. I guess.
Wouldn't know. Does it say, unless it says Cadillac in big letters on the side? I'm not gonna know.
Just across the hood, mm-hmm. big
and I wish more
letters.
Cars did say. I wish more cars did say that.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Is Bugatti a good car?
Yes.
Okay, that's another name I knew.
But you wouldn't see them much even around here because they're kind of like showy.
Are they? Like, are they the kinds that have like DeLorean doors that go up?
I don't think so. They're the kind that are like really low to the ground and like have, I wouldn't call them much muscle features because they're not Camaros or something, but they're, you know, exaggerated sculpting, I guess, on them.
Interesting.
And they're very loud, like, you know,
no,
type
I don't
of shit.
Know, but
okay. Well, you know how how loud cars are loud sometimes?
Oh yeah. Okay. I knew that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Loud cars. Yeah. Oh, I love those quiet cars though.
Yeah, I like a quiet car.
Oh, yeah. I would love hearing a Prius going down my street.
Cool, just like a kind of metallic glide noise that's not too intrusive. It's nice, yeah.
Not sure if it's an automobile or a golf cart, and I am all for it.
So we see this Cadillac careening through the desert. It's coming up, honking its horn, going crazy. Mm-hmm. And in the front seat is one Mr. Mike Ehrmantraut, and in the back seat, a Gus Fring.
Mm-hmm.
And they're
both like tired.
They are completely zonked out. They are coming off of a Adderall high or something.
I'll spoil this. The episode we're gonna watch next week ends with them actually surfing.
Oh my gosh,
and
that
so
makes total sense.
That's why they get so tired.
I totally relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get they take Gus and they bring him into the medical tent, but they leave Mike,
mm-hmm.
and that pisses off Jesse and he goes, hey, he needs help. Help me help him. And they're like, no, because this guy pays our salary. That guy's just some fucking guy.
Mm-hmm. So. And they spit on his mouth.
It was pretty hot. That part was sexy.
I like when people spit at each other's mouths. It's my favorite type of content on the internet. Follow us on Breaking Back Pod. And if you listen to this episode, please send a video of someone spitting in your mouth. I don't care.
All right, yeah, send us your spit videos, please.
I think then they go to the title, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we saw Mike's blood coming down his pant leg. I thought that was interesting. This is like blood pouring out of his pants. Like,
he was just peeing blood. He's just old.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That happens. I don't know if you probably just didn't notice it in the seasons we've already seen. He's always peeing blood.
He's just like, time to go pass my blood.
Yeah.
And he goes in the bathroom. Oh, boy. So then.
I think that's the end of the cold open. Now I'll take a moment just to say that this episode's brought to you by Squarespace. If you have a website to build, Squarespace is the place to do it. We don't have promo codes yet.
I don't think we have any type of partnership with Squarespace.
I'm on a mission to make this seem more professional. So here's the deal. If if you want to use Squarespace at a discount, sign up for Squarespace and then tweet at me like your new website and the order total, and I'll Venmo you some money back.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Go ahead. Double down on this.
I'll double down on it. Yeah. Just make a website and I'll give you 75%
off. 75%
off. Yeah. Wow. And so if Squarespace, if you're listening, we're going to move a lot of units.
You're going to get a lot of business through Breaking Backwards.
Here's the thing, Meg. I don't know how many podcasts you listen to, but all the good ones, they pound pavement for Squarespace. So I'm going to be talking about
it. Is it all Squarespace?
It's always Squarespace. They're the only podcast sponsor.
Wow.
Yeah. Them and ZipRecruiter, I guess.
ZipRecruiter. Mm-hmm. I use ZipRecruiter, so.
I've used ZipRecruiter. Yeah. Got me the worst job I've ever had.
That's too bad.
That's it. I was a really bad job. I got in LA. I won't bring it up if ZipRecruiter were a sponsor. Wink, wink.
Yeah, maybe. Are we kind of trying to blackmail ZipRecruiter right now?
Maybe I won't talk about my bad experience with ZipRecruiter if...
Well, I had a bad ZipRecruiter experience as well, where a fake job almost tried to...
Ooh, you hear that, ZipRecruiter?
We are not going to finish that thought, but
we won't finish it now.
Yeah, but maybe in future episodes we'll continue our ZipRecruiter.
Mm-hmm. ZipRecruiter, bits. Wouldn't you rather be where Squarespace is standing right now?
Hmm.
Be a shame if something were to happen to you, ZipRecruiter.
It sure got a pretty social standing on the internet, don't you, ZipRecruiter?
Be a shame if something happened to it.
Yeah.
But anyway, just text me, hey, Adam, I made a website, and I'll throw you a few bucks.
That sounds...
Until Squarespace gives us proper promo codes to hand out. Okay, cool. Sorry, that's out of the way. We had to do that, or else I won't be able to quit my actual job.
Are you hoping to quit your job through this?
Once we get enough Squarespace money, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
First get the podcast, then Squarespace starts shelling out some bills for you, and then you start staying in the Ritz-Carlton. That's a hotel, right?
Yeah. Sorry, I just heard a noise. I want to make sure my door is locked. It is. Okay. Whatever I heard was in here when I got here. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, yes. The ZipRecruiter lives at the Ritz-Carlton, which is a hotel near me, before I hear a sound. Yes.
Okay. So
please cut that out. I lost my train of thought.
I'll probably cut out all that bullshit. what happens when they fucking stop playing the Breaking Bad theme song, which is like... They broke bad a long time ago, but now they're best friends, Jesse and Walt. Okay.
And it has a lot of black and white photos of them. It's kind of like, what you said kind of sounded like the Dukes of Hazzard original theme song.
it says each star's name, and then it says, and Bryan Cranston as Walter White.
Yeah.
I'm reading the thingy. Oh, okay, I don't know if this is the exact order, but we're just going to finish the Jesse stuff. So then later on, Jesse's in the hospital room, the quote-unquote hospital room. It's a tent. And he's like, hey, Mike needs more blood. I'm a doctor now. And the real doctor's like, yeah, go to the blood fridge, idiot.
Yes, and in the blood fridge, there were three shelves, at least, of different people's blood based on their blood type. One for Gus, one for Mike, and one even for Jesse, should he need it. And the doctor's like, I know everything about you. And he did divulge all the things he knew about them. Yeah, and it was creepy, and I didn't like it.
Knew his blood type, knew he had no STDs, knew he liked the reefer. And he knew that those were the things.
Yeah, those were the important things, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then later on, then Jesse and Gus leave, and they walk around a little bit in the desert. And Gus kind of talks about Walt the way we talked about ZipRecruiter.
He's very ominous, open-ended threats. Like, you don't need him anymore. And Jesse's like, hey, please don't kill him. Just fire him or pay him off, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And Gus is like, that's not going to work for me. I don't like that.
And then Gus is like, ugh. Okay.
I'm done talking about this.
Gah. And then they kind of walk at like several feet apart for presumably the entire trip, which would
be 6 miles. I was thinking, like, how rude would it be if it was like, I think I could easily walk 6 miles in the desert, especially because it seemed like it was like a cooler time of year. But I was like, how rude would it be if Jesse was like, well, I'm going to put my headphones in. Like, would he have to do that without headphones? That seems like it'd be terrible.
I doubt at that part if they're like sneaking in through the border. I'm assuming cell service isn't that good. But this is 2007, so he probably has an iPod.
You think?
Yeah, so he doesn't need cell service to get a podcast. Presumably he already downloaded it.
Yeah, or just listening to, I don't know, Nine Inch Nails. Or yeah, so. What do you think Jesse likes? I don't know.
Was Skrillex around back then?
I don't think so, but I really don't know for sure.
I feel like Skrillex or Bass Nectar.
I don't know what that is.
These are... What's the type of music Skrillex makes? I forget. It was big in like 2010.
It's house music? I don't know.
Oh, fuck.
Trance music?
Hold on. What the hell? We're old, guys.
It's weird. Well, you're going to be 30 this year. I can't believe it.
I'll never be 30. It's never going to happen.
Dude, I'm already 30. Why would you do this to me? I'm in my 30s.
Skrillex is only 32.
Oh, God.
Dubstep, that's the thing I'm thinking of. Yeah, it's like... You know.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, I got it, yeah.
Yeah, and Bass Nectar also does that, except for his is like... So they're different. Skrillex is only 3 years older than me. I'm not a fan of that. Which means he was accomplishing things when he was my age. Which I'm not a fan of. Anyway, moving on from that. That's the kind of music Jesse likes. And then they go to an old folks home.
Yes. I'm just doing
the Jesse stuff. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so as far as I can tell, he walked all the way there to this old folks' home, and we get to see Hector Salamanca again.
Yeah, well, I think Gus is in a suit now.
Oh, yeah, so they changed in a rest stop. You're right, good point.
Owen, I didn't know that. Do you know what movie Hector was watching?
I don't. I wasn't paying attention.
It was Bridge Over River Kwai.
I wouldn't have known that.
I wouldn't have known that either.
I don't even know that I knew that was the title of any movie at any point.
I think it's a running joke in the show Parks and Recreation, Ron Swanson's favorite movie.
Okay. I never watched Parks and Recreation.
Oh,
so.
Good show. You like The Good Place, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah, same creative team. Good show. Good shit.
Hmm.
Yeah. Would recommend. Ahead. Sorry.
I'll check it out. I mean, it's on Netflix, and I got...
You got Netflix?
Yeah, I got Netflix, and I've seen a lot of it, yeah.
Dude, Netflix rules. That's like top 10 website for sure.
Yeah, no, it's a good site. Mm-hmm. It's got, like, a couple shows on it, and then it's got only the best movies.
Yeah.
So now we're in a position where now we're Hector Salamanca is kind of getting taunted by Gus Fring, because when Gus was leaving the tent in Mexico, he grabbed like some fancy bracelet.
Some medallion of some kind.
Yeah, and he's like, hey, rattling it in his face and saying, look what happened. They're all dead. Everyone you know is dead. Yeah, even your grandson, he's dead. And Hector is very, you know, upset. And it's sad to see.
Maybe this is just life experience, because like my parents text me that every day. so I thought this was just something people deal with.
Your parents text you, everyone you know is dead?
Everyone I know is dead, except for them, so fucking, like, behave.
Clean up your socks?
Yeah. They're like, everyone you've ever known, like, because they're just, I don't know why, I have several aunts and uncles that are alive, but they want me to imagine a world where everyone's dead, constantly. So I don't know why they do that, but.
Well, man, I don't know what to say. It sounds really intense.
It is.
Is it hard to, like, is every morning are you like, fuck, I don't want to look at my, there it is, god damn it, or are you just, like, immune to it now?
That's not really something you can get immune to, if I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah, and sometimes they'll call me and just say, they're all gone, and I don't like it, but
Do they ever call you from a blocked number ever, and you answer it unsuspectingly, and they go, ah, fucking sucker.
Yeah, they do that, and, like, I wish I could block their numbers, but you know what? They're still paying my cell phone bill, so I can't, so I kind of have to be nice to them. So, like, that's a catch-22 right there.
Yeah. So. This is complicated. Well, in this instance, I don't think that Hector is having his cell phone bill paid by Gus, but maybe they explain that in another episode. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know. I can't tell you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Hector's like, I don't like it when you do this. And then he goes, you want to see who killed your grandson? It was that guy, Jesse Pinkman. And Jesse's like, just shh about it.
Shut the fuck up, dude. Jesse's like, shut. God damn it, Gus. God, to fuck.
So now, I'm sorry, I'm just trying to think.
Oh, we can, I'm literally just reading off the Wikipedia. Hank Schrader continues to investigate Gus on his own while Walter drives him. So they're at, like, they're not at in the laundry drive yet where they get in a little crash.
They're doing, like, a stakeout at, like, the chicken farm or something,
The chicken
right?
farm is where they're at, and then, like, it's just boring, and Hank asks about Walt's face.
Oh, yes.
And Walt's like, I don't want to explain myself to you.
He's definitely very grumpy about it. I'm done explaining myself to everyone. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like, I feel as though Hank's just trying to be there for you, man. You don't have to shut him down so hard, you know?
Yeah, but Hank's also kind of his enemy.
Yes, but Hank doesn't even realize it. So so we know that his motivation... Hank's motivation, at the very least, is pure, as pure as that man's can be.
But also, and this is a discovery I've made during this watch and no others, and it's only because I've been watching with you, Hank's kind of a dirty cop.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going around what's legal, for sure.
So I always thought the only unlikable parts was Hank was he's just kind of like brash and like annoying uncle-ish.
Yeah.
But he's like he's like a bad police officer. Which is interesting. So now I have that rattling around in my brain.
I just feel as though he's like base level cop, TV cop dirty. He's not, I haven't seen The Wire, but I don't think anything he's doing on The Wire is as bad. You know what I mean? Let me say, like, it seems as though Hank has questionable police practices, but it seems as though the stuff you'd see, you infer that you see on The Wire is... way worse in terms
of... The Wire is more about bureaucratic gridlock, and it's, like, much more about, like, they spend so much time chasing stats in their department, and that prohibits actual police work. So...
Is that really a whole series?
It's so good. Okay. And, like, how that, like, lets actual crime go on, and how systems create duplicates of the system. I don't know. Guys, watch The Wire. It's really good. Watch it with subtitles on, but watch it.
I was just saying, I don't think that any of Hank's kind of glad-handing and gray area police work I haven't seen yet, and I probably am going to be proved wrong, him beat the shit out of somebody he shouldn't beat the shit out of, take any bribes.
True, it seems as though,
you know what? This is actually something interesting to think about. I think that they both have a fatal flaw, Hank and Walt, and it's that they both are these fucking guys that just push it all the time.
Yeah.
So in that way, you see Hank kind of flexing his, like, I'm going to push this scenario. And then at the end of this episode, we see Walt pushing it as well, and it gets... it makes his situation way worse for him. You know?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, they're both pushers. And like someone like Saul, who's not really a pusher. He's just kind of a doer.
He's a beta male sexist. No, he definitely is kind of meek, though, right? He just is a little bit of a skeez ball, but he's not very aggressive about
it. He does not care if people think he's tough or not.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is what it seems like. But okay, so... Hank does that, and then we finally see hot Ted.
Yeah, this man is a silver fox. When he's got a full head of hair, get out of the way. Ted is causing all sorts of problems for Skylar. She gets home with the baby, and Ted's gone and left her a voicemail saying, like, I think your proposition I'm going to have to say no to. I bet you won't like hearing that. And I was like, we're going to see, like, straight up, he's like... Tony Soprano refusing to eat pussy and she's going to get all mad. No, he won't take the money that she's offering him to... What'd you say?
I said, what a reference.
It's just... Well, I mean, so I'm still at this point here where I actually have not seen or believed that they've been fucking. So this was I was like, hey, maybe this is where I'm going to see him be like, I know you said you were thirsty for it, but I won't do it. But... instead, he's like, I won't do the right thing with the IRS. This is dirty money. Yeah. I'm not going to take it. And she got really mad and kind of barked at him.
Yeah, if you didn't watch the episode, just kind of the gist is he owes the IRS some money. Skylar helped cook his books, and she's very much interested in the IRS not looking into him further, or else they might catch on to the meth stuff. But he's being persnickety about actually paying the IRS, and even though she's giving him money.
There's no part of me that thinks this guy is that, you know, morally fortuitous. Like, it seems as though if he actually is having an affair with Skylar, whether or not that remains to be seen, that seems kind of like why would he give a shit if somebody pays off his IRS debts? He's so like, no, this is just the right thing to do.
Well, he kind of shakes her down. He's like, well, I could take a little bit more. And I can't really say. At first, she gave him money in a way that he didn't know was coming from her. I won't say how, but that's how.
Okay.
And he bought a car with it.
Yeah. He leased a car. Yeah.
He leased a car. And she was like, the fuck, Ted? Like, you owe money to the IRS, goddammit. And he just, he kind of just has, like, that rich white guy energy that you see at a lot of dinner parties where he's like, I mean, it won't, like, come back to me.
Yeah.
They don't care about white collar crime.
Yeah. I definitely am familiar with that energy.
Yeah.
So then Skylar kind of is like, hands him his checkbook and says, like, make me out a check for the cash you owe me now, but assign it to the IRS. And I'm guessing he didn't do it because she gets in the car and calls Saul and says, like, it's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then
that's the line.
It's an emergency.
And then, yeah, we get some Bill Burr and some Huel action.
Yes, that was a lot of fun. I like Bill Burr in this show. I think he has, like, the perfect persona for a goon.
Yeah, skeezy, like, third-rate lawyer, like, henchman.
But, you know, he doesn't seem terrible at all, because he's just kind of like... being a like, hey, we're just gonna make this go easy. I'm gonna pick us up sandwiches. You're gonna sign this check. We're mailing it out. We're gonna play cards and watch cable. Yeah. And then everything seems to be going to plan. And I was like, oh, what's he gonna do to piss off Huel that like Huel just like smashes him with one hand essentially?
Oh yeah, because you didn't know that he accidentally like Huel doesn't beat the shit out of him or anything. He just slips.
Yeah, I mean, I thought when in other episodes we watched, when they reference his accident, I thought it was because Huel did something. No, but he actually did it himself. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
But yeah, no, it's kind of good cop, bad cop. Bill Burr being the good cop a little bit, but like kind of threatening.
Yeah.
Which I like a lot.
Is it a good cop, bad cop, or a level-headed goon and then surly, grumpy, big guy goon? I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably more that. You're probably right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they don't, well, they get the check in the mail. That's good.
Yes.
But what's going on with Walter? Let's go back to him. Let's see what's going on here. We forgot that Walter gets into a car wreck. Or did we talk about that?
Not yet. We didn't forget. I just feel like we didn't talk about it yet. I certainly didn't forget. How could I?
No, forget? How could you forget that? It was a car crash.
Yeah, it was scary.
I don't know if you've ever hit anything with your car, but like the which isn't really a feeling of like danger. It's like, oh, I gotta call Geico now, and that's a nightmare.
I've done T-bone before my first year living out here, and that actually like stayed in my mind for a long time.
My first year living there, I got, well, not T-boned. A lady ran her Prius into the back of my car.
Oh my God, really?
No, it could not have worked out better. My car didn't have a scratch, had like a little scratch on it, and hers was totaled, and she took full responsibility. And her insurance company was like, we can either pay it out or pay for the damages. I was like, well, we'll take a payout. And so I like got $700. It was sweet.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Mine was a lot more tedious than that, and it was very annoying. I was just turning left, like with stop traffic on Wilshire, and there was a bus lane that nobody was supposed to be in. And as I was turning left, someone came flying up the bus lane, because it's like between 4 and 7 on Wilshire. Unless you're a bus, you're not supposed to be in that lane. And he T-boned me, and then I was just like, "What do you do?" Like, because it was a bad enough crash where it like really like shocked me. But anyways.
Sorry. Just one more anecdote.
Please tell me.
Oh, at the same instance with the Prius running into my car, I called my insurance company, and I didn't realize, like, you don't really need to if they just totally admit fault. Like, it's just all handled by their insurance. And my insurance was like, it's good there is covering it because you have garbage insurance. That's the level you picked, and this isn't covered. And frankly, almost nothing is covered. So, So good on you for getting hit and not hitting someone else. Thanks, guys.
So, like, did you get better insurance after that?
I think I meant to. Now I'm going to a place where I don't need a car, so peace.
Oh, that's got to feel really nice.
Oh, it's going to feel awesome.
That's going to be great. That's a month now?
Yeah, in 4 weeks.
Wow.
4 weeks. Cool. Going to be breaking backwards coast to coast, baby.
Excuse me.
From New York City to L.A.
New York and L.A. That'll be fun.
Cosmopolitan fucking podcast this will be.
Jet-setting podcast that bicoastal, bisexual?
Very bisexual podcast. Yep. And then probably sometime in 2021, we'll do our first in-person episode again, I assume. I'll probably run back out there.
Or we'll meet in Vegas or something.
I'll meet in Las Vegas. Oh, Breaking Bad, where it's live from Las Vegas.
I'm sure we'll have the following for that to be a whole... Maybe we can, like, rent out somewhere at Caesar's Palace and we'll have a live audience and everything.
Oh, yeah. The entire Caesar's Palace where the boxers go?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And in the ring, it'll be that. Us. Yeah.
That would be a dope. This scene's not that exciting. Walter's driving Hank to the chicken coop. And Hank's like, yeah, but I want to check out this laundry store.
Yes.
And Walt's like, I don't think we should.
And Hank breaks down how everything he thinks is tied to Madrigal. Mm-hmm. And Walt realizes that, you know, they're kind of boned there because of everything. They're pretty much in trouble now.
Mm-hmm. Quick thinking.
Yeah, getting hit by a car. I mean, that's always an option for me just on a bad day. Like, well, I could just swing this around right into the ocean or maybe just go on the other side of the 405. But yeah, he did a good job. He did a good job getting in a crash.
Mm-hmm.
How did that not seem super blatant? They, like, didn't hold him to task for any of that.
I agree, but also, as a viewer of a show, we're so in Walt's head and, like, knew exactly what I was thinking. But I feel like if you would, like, Hank thinks he's just some, like, car wash owner who's driving him around and is just like, what, the turn? I don't, whoops. don't know, feel like he would take his word for it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's just like, yeah, you're right. Okay, from his perspective, and that's all we see, we know how calculated it is. Mm-hmm. But I guess sometimes people can fuck up while they're driving, and that's how accidents happen. So it's good on Hank for not holding it against the guy, even though it's completely intentional.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, good shit. And then what happens? Oh, then Walt is cooking in the laboratory and realizes Jesse's been in there cooking, too.
Yeah.
And Tyrus, who I'm looking at, his last name is Kit. Never knew that.
That's Tyrus Kit is the character's name?
Tyrus Kit. Yep. Mm-hmm. Bill okay. Burr's character. I knew this, but I don't know if you knew it. His name's Patrick Kubi.
I didn't know it was Kubi.
I'm pretty sure they only refer to him as Kubi. I've never heard Patrick before, but
I never heard of Pat. You're right. I don't know that I knew his name at all.
Yeah, there we go, though. That's pretty cool.
Now we know. Now I know what to name my next children.
Did the other fucking Breaking Backwards tell you that? I fucking doubt it.
Well, I don't think they exist anymore.
Yeah, because they only made one episode. Come at us, bros.
We're like 20 episodes deep almost.
Squarespace backing you? Hell nah.
And it will eventually?
Well, we're in talks to Squarespace right now.
Yeah, we're talking.
We're talking to them.
At them.
They haven't offered us enough.
And that's true. They certainly haven't.
Once they do, then look at the money faucet will just have gonna, turned on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cash, 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 cash. Anyway, what was that? Oh, and then that scene's kind of like boring. And then Walt goes to Jesse's house.
And the kids are, Jesse's playing, what Sonic game is that?
That is Sonic Adventure 2 Meg, originally released for the Sega Dreamcast.
I was wondering if that was a Dreamcast controller. That's
it was
so
an
funny.
Xbox 360 controller. After the Dreamcast died, that game was ported to almost every other system. Meg, first game to feature Shadow the Hedgehog.
Wow, I'm blown away right now.
Good shit. Big time marketing about how you could play one side of the story is the good guys, one side of the story is the bad guys. And it was a dope game. I fucking love that game. Sorry.
They were playing that game. They were playing it on the 360.
And they were doing just my least favorite thing in the world in terms of acting stuff, which is obviously the camera is facing the actors who are holding a video game controller. There's they're looking at a bunch of cameras and shit, but they have to pretend like they're playing a video game. And what they do is they hit a bunch of buttons really fast and move the sticks really fast. In no game you do that. There's never been one game where that happens.
If we're just talking about acting choices that are frustrating and that we dislike, my personal least favorite acting object work is how people hold disposable coffee cups or drink containers on.
How do they do it that you don't like?
They don't. They're all empty, right? So you can tell they're just dealing with like an empty cup because it's like just they don't.
Are
act
they?
Like
I always thought they put water and shit in that. Is it usually empty?
It's usually empty for the sound stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'm gonna notice that now.
Yeah, that shit drives me crazy because it's like it's clear that's an empty cup because you don't. I don't know. Just how they handle it. It makes me nuts.
No, I get with the controller thing, it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because how you normally look playing a game, except for like a very choice few, and it's usually like a fighting game where you would be pushing a lot of buttons at once. Normally, it's just like you have the stick just kind of going in whatever direction your character's going, and it's not like going like wap, 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 wap. It's just one direction. And you push like a button every once in a while, and that maybe just doesn't read that good. But
yeah, I mean, I've never played this Sonic game. I bet that one's a little bit joystick heavy, but probably only one button that you hit.
I know quite a bit about that Sonic game, and it's not really. I mean, you just kind of hit the joystick forward the whole time. Anyway, really took me out of the episode. 2 stars.
In this scene, Hank is... Oh, my mic fell. I'm sorry. In this scene, Hank shows up. Hank doesn't show up. It's Walt. Walt shows up, and he freaks out Jesse. I'm just going to stop talking until I get my mic set up again.
Oh, wait.
Okay.
Meg's setting up her mic.
Okay, I think.
Mm-hmm. Her mic looks like an Apple computer had a penis.
That's true. That's what this looks like, but with a very pronounced head.
Just a head.
Yeah. And it's a perfect circle. They call it a snowball. Anyhow, Hank, no. Walt
Hank,
shows
Hank,
up.
Hank, fun fact, isn't in the scene.
He's not in the scene. We don't know where he is. We're worried.
He could be jerking off. He's jerking off when the scene takes place. Yep.
Probably jerking off. Walt shows up and Jesse starts pushing him around the front lawn, being all mad. I thought they were going to make a bigger moment out of Walt seeing Brock on the couch. I thought like you would notice him noticing the kid, but they didn't do that.
Yeah. He just kind of is like, oh, some boy.
He doesn't even make like, he doesn't even side eye the kid, you know?
Yeah. Older men kind of side eyeing young boys, doesn't ever work
read
out
well.
Too well. So I feel like they usually just kind of move on pretty quick.
That's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, and then Tyrus, sneaky, shows up and
just zaps Walt.
Goes,
yeah,
goes buzz, right away, and Walt's like, ow.
That hurts. We did skip over, I'm feeling remorse, skipping over your favorite scene of dialogue in the whole series.
Oh, we did skip over that. We all know I like when they talk about bullshit on the show. It's my favorite thing. Most shows don't do it. And Sky, Walt Jr., Smoking Lady, and Hank and Marie kind of just talk about frozen yogurt for 2 minutes before the scene starts.
Yeah, just about how it tastes exactly the same and no, it doesn't. And I, you know, and then Hank just goes on pontificating about the merits of free food. And then Walt shows up, he's like, sorry, I did a boom boom on the car. Mm-hmm. Like he just, they try to move
it.
On
it
from
was,
it.
Was,
yeah.
It was my heroine.
So
big fan. And thank you for us going back there. Cause that,
I wanted to make you happy just once today.
I want to put that section of the script in the Library of Congress for preservation.
It's probably already there.
Yeah. Don't see that shit on Dexter.
So yeah. Then we're back to where Walt is getting abducted. He's got a hood over his head. And when he gets out in the middle of the desert and they rip the hood off and Gus Fring is giving him the shakedown. Like, you're fired. You stay away from Jesse Pinkman. And what else does he say?
Sorry, I got a little just during this scene. My my brother who listens to the show FaceTimed me.
And, during the scene?
Yeah, I picked it up and then I was like, "Hey, I can't talk." And bye. And I tell him I call him back now. I'll probably call him back after this, but he's probably listening to this right now, like a week from now.
Oh wow!
So a lot of weird time stuff going on right now. And anyway, yeah, no, he called and I was like, "We're watching." And I showed him the scene and I was like, "It's a really good scene." Bye.
Yes,
but
so,
no, he says you're fired, and then Walt kind of pushes it, like you mentioned.
That's what I'm saying. This is not to his benefit to behave so shitty in this scene where he's like, "Well, why should I?"
I think his calculus is just like, if you wanted to kill me, I'd be dead already, and so there's something keeping me alive.
But why would you? I just like, I understand Walt's Walt, but like in reality, you know, Gus Fring has the ability to do it, right? He knows that because he said it in the scene earlier that he was going to get killed by Gus. I don't know if that was manipulation. So he knows that Jesse must have been angling for him not to get murdered, right?
I guess. I think he assumed Walt, like Gus was going to kill him at some point. But then after that, by nature of Gus not killing him, but taking him out to the desert to scare him, he's like, oh, they are doing some theater instead.
True. And, I don't know.
And got a little pep in his step.
I don't understand why you wouldn't just like thank your lucky stars. You know what I mean?
Because I don't know either. Because I don't know.
Okay. Well, as long as we both don't know.
He's got a little, he's got a bee in his bonnet. And he doesn't know how to, he doesn't know what's good for him.
That's fair. That's true. I agree with all of that.
And he says, I will kill your wife. I will kill your son. I will kill your unborn, or no, infant daughter.
That kind of, like, even the baby?
Yeah, and that kind of rattles his cage.
Yeah, and then but it was also kind of like, dude, did you have to push it? See, like he doesn't have to play nice for very long.
He's like, I'm gonna finish Hank. That's the big thing.
Oh yeah. So then Walt bursts into... Oh, well, we don't get the injury. Did we talk about the injury? We didn't talk about the injury of
with
Ted.
We kind of talked about that scene when we did
but
we it
didn't,
early.
But we didn't talk about how he paralyzed himself, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Ted's, they're, Kubi and Huel are trying to get that check out of him, and he makes a run for it, and he slips, and he hits his noggin.
And he's down for the count, seemingly. Mm-hmm.
And he gets a bunch of oranges dropped on him.
Yeah, that probably, that was just insult to injury at that point. Mm-hmm. So then,
but then we see Huel and Kubi in Saul's office, the act of God.
Yeah, and Saul's very much like, well, how are we going to explain this one? Boy, you guys have really gone and done it again. And I'm sure she I said you guys were my A team. You guys just went and, you know, put this person in the ICU. That's crazy. And then Walt kicks in the door and he's like, I gotta go right now. I have to disappear. You gotta let me disappear. Give me the business card of the guy that can do it. And also call in a death threat on Hank, please. Mm. And they're like, you're gonna need $500,000 to disappear. You better make this happen now. Mm-hmm. He goes back to his house and tears it apart looking for money.
And it's not there.
It's not, no.
Because Skylar gave it to
her boyfriend,
her boo.
Yeah, I would give $600,000 to my boo if I could.
I don't think he's attractive, objectively. I don't get it.
I mean, he's just kind of like a silver fox. It's like, look up right now, look up David Byrne and see what you think.
The musician?
Yeah.
I think he's attractive.
But, like, now, at this age.
Ugh.
No, take it away. He's hot. He's a hot old man.
He looks like a ghoul. I don't know. I don't think so. I mean,
I think he's pretty attractive.
Young David Byrne's kind of cute, but
young David Byrne is very handsome. I think. Like, did you watch the Sack Lunch Bunch?
No, is it good?
Yeah. Well, he's in it, and he does a great song. I don't know. There's just something about like these older men. They're just, you can tell they were pretty charming when they were younger, and now they're.
Here's him standing next to St. Vincent. I think she's gorge. not a lot of hot guys on this show.
That's true. I mean, well, Bob Odenkirk.
We got Bob Odenkirk, and that's about it.
Can we do a bit? This is something that I keep remembering, and I wanted to bring up to you on mic.
Sure.
You know how you mentioned that you find it so fascinating, the men that your mother finds attractive, and you ask her all the time?
All the time.
Can you tell me who she actually finds attractive?
I think, Viggo Mortensen, she thinks is really attractive.
Okay.
Did I bring that up last time?
I think so, yeah.
Viggo Mortensen, who else? Alec Baldwin.
Really?
Yeah, she thinks Alec Baldwin is
Seems like a deflated pile of tires.
Now and then, like both, young and old. Who else if I heard her say is attractive? Oh, well, I mean, you're not going to know Carver from The Wire.
Oh, I don't know that guy.
Yeah. But he's... And, Idris Elba.
Idris Elba is pretty fucking sexy. Mm-hmm.
She thinks Idris Elba's attractive. I agree with that. Mm-hmm. He's also on The Wire. Yeah.
Yeah. I was just curious. Okay, sorry. So do you think that if you brought up Ted to your mom, she'd find him attractive, or is she not like a...
Oh, I think she's mentioned Ted's attractive. She's seen this whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she thinks Ted's attractive.
Okay.
I believe. Maybe I'll ask her again.
Yeah, I mean, there's just something about a guy with a full head of silver hair. You're just kind of like, God damn, look at him. He's fit. Like, I don't know. I like
is
it.
Is he fit?
He's not unfit.
He needs to be wearing tighter shirts if he's fixed. I couldn't tell. I just imagine the shirtless 60-year-old body I've seen in many a gym locker room.
Ugh, that is a rough thing to see.
Yeah, which is like skinny fat, which I assume Ted is.
Well, that's not fair. Don't assume.
Well, unless he wants to show me his arms.
So then Walt goes back to his house. He jumps in the crawl space. Oh, we already covered all this. And then he starts, like, screaming. They scream at each other for a while, and that made me very uncomfortable.
I love the music plus everything happening at once. I love this part.
Really? It doesn't... Yeah. When people are, like, really just hollering at each other, that doesn't turn you off at all?
Mm, Sometimes it does, but I think just how heightened this whole scene is, it worked really well. And like just the fact that he goes like, there's that kind of electric music, and then he goes like, where's the money? And then it all stops, and it just goes like, boom, boom, boom. And then she says she gave it to Ted, and then he just like laughs.
Yeah, he laughs for a long time. I thought he was going to throw up or something.
I thought that was well done. I was pretty shook when I saw it on the television.
And then while he's laugh screaming, the phone rings, and it's on the phone lady. She's calling. She knows. She's back in her element.
On the phone lady's cigarette is a telephone.
Yes. Yeah. And she's telling her that there's a hit out on Walt, the cartel, or the hit out on Hank, the cartel is back, and Skylar answers the phone and is like, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I guess it's pretty much done. I guess it's pretty much over.
Mm-hmm. The next episode opens with them rushing into a bunch of cars.
Yeah, so must have collected himself in that meantime. Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's a long, 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 long shot of him laughing and the camera going up.
Yeah, so he must have calmed the fuck down a little bit.
So yeah, good up, A minus A, somewhere in that range for me.
I think this is a B+ for me.
Of course.
It's not even a bit thing. It's not a bit. I guess I could bump it to an A-. I could bump it to an A-. So you know, I'm actually being sincere here in my examination of it, because I felt like I think the chaos of it was something that was hard for me to like stomach. I generally, this is where you and I differ, is that like I kind of like heavy action sequences, and I just like comedy. I like. This is more when things get really dramatic. Uh-huh. I have a hard time accepting the drama. It's easier for me to accept the comedy, you know.
I feel like you're gonna like next week a lot. It's very Walt light and Mike and Jesse heavy.
I probably will really like that.
So yeah. I think you're gonna be a bit, I mean, obviously you saw how they things end up.
Yeah, so it's gonna be like a very dramatic.
Something's gonna happen to get them there. Cool. Yeah, normally here, I need to be better about explaining this segment, because I feel like if someone were to drop in, they'd be like, what the fuck? They're just naming people now. normally here, we like to go through and, because when you watch a TV show, you're thinking, oh, Bryan Cranston, he's a hero. He's doing so good. But he's not the real hero. The heroes are the people who say, what can I get you to drink? Or...
They call out bingo numbers.
These are the people who have under five lines, and they make the world feel real. And we like to shout them out.
I wanted to say this, like, if one of those, if the bingo caller in the background of a scene did something other than call bingo numbers, if she just ripped out like a semi-automatic rifle and started shooting things, this show would be insane. And
it'd be so stupid.
Yeah, they enhance the reality of the show in the world, because they behave as people in the world, and it makes for a richer story.
It makes for a beautiful tapestry. It's what makes this show not Dexter. Anyway, normally we name the actors who do that, but this episode... There were no under fives. There weren't even anyone that like was less than a guest star.
Okay.
Everyone, yeah, nothing. So in lieu of that, I want to try something, a new thing called, this is a segment I cooked up this morning. It's called Welcome to the Pander Dome. So I have the analytics of our podcast right now, and we have some data about who listens to our show. And what I'd like to do is pick one of these, and me and Meg are just gonna like throw a few compliments their way.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. So I have it on good authority that 3% of our audience is in Ireland.
What?
That's true. 3%.
I know some people in Ireland, so that checks out. Like,
so I just want to say some nice stuff about Ireland. James Joyce.
Guinness.
Yeah, good shit. Good country.
Good country. Very green. I was in Ireland a few years ago. Very green. Very clean. Dublin is beautiful.
good on you, St. Patrick, clearing that beach, all them snakes.
Get out of here, you darn snakes.
Yeah. You too.
Yes.
They're a good band.
Yes.
Ish. Not that great, but...
The Cliffs of Dover? That's there, right?
Is that a band?
No, it's, no.
What's
what
the
about
Cliffs of Dover?
It's, isn't it something that Joyce wrote about? Isn't, aren't there...
Possibly. I don't know. I've...
Okay, the Blarney Stone, the Book of Kells, how about that?
Yeah, fuck those English, because we want our goddamn independence.
Yeah, just illuminated texts in general, they did
Hell
a lot of
yeah.
that.
Hell yeah, Gaelic.
Yes.
The name Saoirse.
Saoirse is a wonderful, beautiful name, and they did a good job with that name. Oh, Colin Farrell.
Ooh, Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Saoirse Ronan, I guess, since we're there.
Yeah.
Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms are absolutely from there.
That Irish guy from the first Austin Powers who dies in the toilet.
Oh, who does number two work for? That
yeah,
one.
That well, that's Austin Powers, but.
But
it's,
he says,
it's,
but he, that's who he dies on the toilet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, I think the guy who played Scarecrow in Batman Begins is actually from Ireland.
Cillian Murphy. Oh, God, what a good export, Ireland. He's a hunk.
He's a hunk, but he's definitely got creepy vibes, like, just in his, on the reg, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, all right, so we just want to throw a thank you to Ireland.
Thank you, Ireland.
For listening to our podcast.
So.
And I got a few more metrics in the chamber that we could throw out next week.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so thank you for coming into the Pander Dome.
Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome! Pander Dome!
Should we play Panama, like, then? Like,
sure, I'll put that in.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, before or after or both?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
If it doesn't get struck for copyright. The only time we've ever had an episode taken down was when, in the episode description, I put Antoinette Antonio's Twitter handle in it.
And she was like, absolutely not.
She must have. And yeah,
I don't want to be associated with these
people.
I
also tweeted at her thinking like, oh, maybe she'll retweet it. And all that happened was the podcast got taken down. So then I took it out of the description and uploaded it again. So
Antoinette, oops. We're sorry. We didn't mean anything by it.
I apologize and I'm sorry.
All right. Well, so I guess until next time, a mighty fair listener, a mighty good Heisenberg.
A mighty good Heisenberg.
To you, fair listeners.
Bye.
Bye.